It's Tuesday, August 8th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show presented by Toyota. It's a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is a new face here, Jorge Martin, a brand new contributor here at Yahoo Fantasy and a founder of Familia Fantasy Football. Jorge, what's going on, buddy?
No, Matt, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. By the way, Los Angeles misses you.
I miss parts of LA too. I heard you talking with our producer before we started recording about the East Coast humidity. I'm not enjoying that so much right now. I would love some LA weather in my life. Of course, would love some LA food, as I told you. There's a lot of spots I miss there, but overall, very happy with the life choice I made to come to Virginia. So feeling very good, but really, man, I'm mostly excited to have you on the show and glad you're doing some work with Yahoo this year as well.
No, it's been awesome. It really feels like just kind of getting called up to the big leagues. I mean, I've been contributing to a lot of different sites, but you know, when I've told them the other sites, obviously it's great, great, great. Then all of a sudden I get notes from people out of the woodwork on LinkedIn and everything. You're working for Yahoo. I was just like, oh, wow. You know, it's been fantastic. I'm working on running backs this season. It's awesome. And though it's challenging because, you know, there's just not the bell cows like there were 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
And that's exactly why we have you here on this show today to help us try to talk about this very, very challenging position, because we got a big show ahead of us today as we're continuing positional preview week here with the focus on the running backs today. Like you said, it's kind of an important one to get right, and there's a lot of ways we can get this position wrong. So we're going to talk about all that on this show today. But before we do, we just have one real quick piece of news, and thankfully it's very on topic. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that free agent running back Kareem Hunt is expected to meet with the Saints. We know that Alvin Kamara is suspended for 3 games. Dalton and I just talked about that on yesterday's podcast, so we don't need to really dive too deep into, you know, what would Kareem Hunt do for this team. But I kind of want to ask you, as the running back guy here, Jorge, outside of Dalvin Cook, we know he's out there and he could certainly come and muck up a backfield at any point. I'm curious, in your mind, which of these notable names from fantasy glory past, you know, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, obviously, I'm not saying necessarily who is the most fantasy relevant, because we need to like see where they land, if they land at all, to really answer that question. But of these three guys, I guess, who do you think has the most gas left in the tank, and who has the potential to really, if they sign with the team, mess up the rotation of that team that we think, that we imagine it as right now here today?
Yeah, I think it could be Fournette. I think just because he has the most receiving upside.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Fournette definitely has the most receiving upside. Hunt is interesting. I mean, visiting the Saints, what's your opinion on Hunt? Because I thought he really looked like he had kind of taken a step back last year.
Yeah, I didn't like what I saw with Hunt last year. I mean, they really leaned into Nick Chubb, I think, because they saw that that everything was just the train was leaving the station with Kareem Hunt. Battled injuries, they're starting to pile up with him. And I mean, it's crazy. It was a few years ago, I think it was 2020, he was a top 10 running back with Nick Chubb. Yeah. And then, but no, it's just been taking a step backwards. I would hate to see him land in New Orleans. Oh, it would be painful.
Is there anyone in that backfield that you're like really hoping he doesn't kind of impact? Because, I mean, there's three guys really there right now. I think that we'll talk about them a little bit later, so you don't have to necessarily go into that. But just actually back to your Fournette point there. He was running back 15 last year. We know this because he had 83 targets, as you mentioned. Is there a spot where you'd actually like to see Leonard Fournette land if you think he kind of has the most potential upside left? Or are you just like, listen, we know where the deck is kind of stacked now, and like, let's not see him anywhere?
No, to think about where he could land, there's so many places that actually, you know what, where he could make an impact, I think, is Miami, actually. Because as much as I think that Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert just have a little bit of gas left in the tank, and they have familiarity with Mike McDaniel, and I really like Devon Achane's his overall skill set. I mean, definitely his speed, but I just wonder the way that Shanahan system and that Mike McDaniel system kind of churns through running backs. I wonder if they might want just one more body in there to just kind of, you know, maybe on a cheap contract to help out with that backfield.
I think that's kind of why everybody's been trying to wish cast Dalvin Cook there, is because it's the one spot that feels the most wide open. And I really think I made this point talking about Tua to Dalton on the quarterback preview. I think for this offense to evolve, they need to run the ball better. Like that is, or at least more consistently than they did last year, because I think that was what was lost in after that disastrous game against the 49ers, the rough game against the Chargers for the passing game. Like on paper, it looks like they kind of found themselves as an offense the next game from a passing sense against Buffalo Bills. But really, I think the key to that game was they ran the ball extremely well, and they ran the ball consistently. A team with offensive line questions like this, a team with sort of backfield questions with these guys, as you just mentioned, like that to me really has got to be the key difference between the Dolphins of 2022 and the Dolphins of 23 and moving forward.
Yeah, plus it's actually going to take a little pressure off of Tua. And I mean, if they can get a little bit more of a running game and just all of a sudden, I mean, just balance it out a little bit. People won't be peeling their ears back and then just going after him and putting pressure on him. Yeah, I think they can't be one of the last teams in rushing attempts this season.
All right, that's it for that piece of news. I agree that I think Leonard Fournette has the chance to sort of really change a backfield rotation, whereas these other guys, I'm just Kareem Hunt, man, I'm just really not sure what we've got left going on there. All right, so let's dive into our positional preview here for each position. We're going to start with a wide angle view of the position as a whole. We're also going to try to identify some candidates to make the leap. We're going to go over our biggest player disagreements, and then we're going to end in a beautiful harmonious note with each of us picking our guy at the position for 2023. So let's start, Jorge, with the wide angle view of the position. Big picture topics here. What's your view of the position overall, like the strength of it this year? And of course, I think anytime we're talking about that, do you think there's a running back dead zone this year and kind of who fits in to that group? Just overall thoughts on the running back position this year and the potential strength of it as we head into drafts.
Well, just looking at ADP, and I've been playing best ball since right after the NFL draft. I just look at the fact that this position is being kind of drafted right now, it's just getting pushed back. I mean, there's very few running backs that are going in the first round. It used to be, you know, 12 team league, 11 of the 12 picks were running back. And then all of a sudden, it's like you've got three, maybe four guys in the first round. There's question marks with people like Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins in their contract situations. Who knows how that's going to play out? But really, there are just so few bell cows out there. And there's just the rise and rise of committees because that teams are trying to win games. They're not trying to win our fantasy leagues. So they know that they've got to go through two, sometimes three running backs to get them through a season. So what that's doing is actually pushing running backs further down after your Nick Chubbs, Derrick Henry's, Christian McCaffrey. You know, Austin, or your guy, Austin Eckler, by the way, I shaved my head just to try and be trying to look like him today. but Bijan Robinson and I always keep it shaved anyway. But anyway, all of those guys are going at the front. But then you've got the guys with the warts and they're starting to get pushed back further down. And I think it's two things that are happening there. Number one, it's the rise of the wide receivers, which is why, you know, El Señor, Mr. Reception Perception. I mean, there are guys there are so many great running receivers that are coming into the NFL right now. And I think they're rising up. You got, you know, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Amon-Ra St. Brown, three of the top receivers. They might have been going third or fourth round the last few years. They're going first, second round. And now you've got the quarterbacks that people are talking to. I just did a piece with Dan Titus where I took the reason to take the elite quarterback side, and he took, you know, the late round side. But quarterbacks are getting pushed up the draft board. The elite three, Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, they're going by the 2-3 turn, and that would have been just nuts even last year. But there's every reason to do that because they're league winners, and I think I've heard you talk about it, and I had the same experience. The teams that had those three players on them on my fantasy teams last year, they made the playoffs. They did well, and so you're seeing those guys in the dead zone this year. There's actually more. I just finished an article that's going to be published on Yahoo on the running back dead zone. There's 17 running backs that are going from the beginning of round four, which is pick number 37, to the end of round eight. There's 17 running backs that are going in that zone right there. And the last few years, from 2019 to 2022, there were between 12 and 15. So we're getting more and more running backs. So people are going to need to actually pay attention to that dead zone, because the fact that there's the hero RB drafters, the zero RB drafters out there, those are the folks that are going to have to be picking players from that. So you've got to get that right. You've got to get this year's Josh Jacobs.
And I think there's a lot more appealing players that go in that zone than in previous. And obviously, like you mentioned, it's the wealth of options. The more guys there, the fact that even people are kind of trying to chase some of those tight ends a little earlier. Obviously, Kelce is like a consensus first round pick generally, but you know, some of those other guys are also pushing that position down, and it is the quarterbacks, it is the receivers. So like, typically I would have thought, you said picks, like what were the picks again you kind of mentioned there, like the overall range?
Picks 37 to 84, which is the start of the fourth round, end of the seventh round.
Right. Typically I'd sit there and say, no, thanks. Like that's just a zone I'm generally trying to avoid. It's the guys that I think are just not that talented, but they're going to get placed with volume there. And there might be some of those guys that are just pure volume equation players, but there are also, I mean, we'll talk about them throughout the course of the show today. Like there are also some guys in there that I think, no, you know, look, they're very good and they could actually exceed that overall expectation there. So I have kind of, and I don't know, maybe if you just want to say the blanket statement, I've kind of thought that the dead zone is sort of a little overstated this year because of the changing overall landscape, as you mentioned, is the key to it here. I think that you can maybe, again, it's always like, right, if every strategy works, if you pick the right players, we understand that. So you do sort of have to try to pick and choose your options there, but I think it's a safer area to draft than it might have been normally.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Mike Davises this year. There's not a lot of those guys. There's guys that you can actually look at them, and yes, maybe they have some warrants, but then you look at them from a different light, and you know what? Maybe they're not a big pass catching guy, but you know what? They're going to be a hammer the first two downs, and those guys have value. We saw Isaiah Pacheco help people a lot late last season. Tyler Allgeier helped people late last season. Those guys weren't even in the dead zone. They were waiver wire picks. They were guys taken in the teens maybe held on to if they weren't dropped.
And I look, you know, conversely at the receivers in that zone, and there's certainly a lot of players I like. And again, picking the right players is the key thing here. There are a lot of players I like in that zone from a receiver standpoint, but there are also guys with some pretty serious warts or pretty serious ceiling concerns, in my opinion. We're not going to talk receivers here today, but I just think that goes to show that it's kind of about letting the draft come to you a little bit this year, maybe more than ever, that if you take running backs early, there are definitely some good receiver bets in that range, just like there almost always is. There's good receiver bets in that range. No sure things, but solid kind of, you know, wagers to make. But I think the same is true for running backs this year, which may have not been the case in previous years. So let's spin it to that top of the position with running backs. Consensus top 12 at the position right now. Number one, Christian McCaffrey. Number two, Yahoo's own Austin Eckler. Number three, Bijan Robinson. Number four, Nick Chubb. Number five, Saquon Barkley. Number six, Derrick Henry. Now, Jorge, I think that is, I'm not saying that's a tier to itself, but I think right here is where you start to get some serious questions starting to enter the mix here, because at seven, we have Jonathan Taylor. Eight, we have Tony Pollard. Nine, we have Josh Jacobs. And now I think right here, there's officially a tier break to me, and you can let me know if you disagree with this. Then you've got 10, Ramondre Stevenson, 11, Najee Harris. We're going to put a pin in him to talk about him later in the show, and 12, Joe Mixon. So any thoughts on kind of how I group those guys there? Again, that's just top. That's not my top 12. It's just top 12 consensus rankings. But do you kind of agree that sort of where those cliffs are generally at the position at the top?
I agree. If I would say if Jonathan Taylor's situation got kind of cleared up sooner rather than later, I think I could see grouping him in right behind Derrick Henry in there. He's really dropped in ADP on best ball drafts. I mean, he was in the teens, and that I saw him yesterday. I grabbed him at number 22 overall, which I thought was just nuts. When it comes to when you look at Henry at that point, at number six, I think he's still a great value, because also look at the end of the season schedule, weeks 15 and 17. When you're looking at the fantasy playoffs, he's playing Houston, And I know they've got a new coach and a new defensive scheme, but teams don't usually go from being one of the worst run defenses in the NFL to being, you know, to being the best, among the best. They may improve, but I think by that point, Derrick Henry is going to be a hammer on them. And what is he usually goes for 200 yards against the Houston Texans. So I really like him, but yeah, you're right. You start having question marks after that. Yes, you Jonathan Taylor, new quarterback. I do still like him because I think Anthony Richardson is going to keep from having stacked boxes for Jonathan Taylor. Tony Pollard, he's never had a 250, rush attempt workload. I mean, I think he would thrive having that Austin Ekeler role, but that means they're still going to have 200 some carries that Zeke left behind, and who's going to take them? I don't think Pollard's going to eat those up. I think they want to get him to the end of the season. And Ramondre, there's questions. Dalvin Cook has been going in there. So a lot. I'm not going to put question marks on Najee Harris because we're going to talk about him. But Joe Mixon, 810 yards last year rushing. I know he had really good work in the passing game, but I looked and it was almost 22% of his overall fantasy points came in one game, that 51-point game. So that really worries me. And plus the fact that, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, those guys are going to eat. They are a passing team.
And this is something I'm going to talk about throughout the podcast, but I mentioned it on yesterday's show, and it's something I want to keep getting people to think about. Teams that have great receivers like that, they're just never going to funnel targets to the running back position. And Burrow got better about last year, and I think he'll continue to do this. Like, all right, if it's not there down the field to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd as well, I'm going to dump it off to Joe Mixon because he's a good receiver. And, I can just take what the defense gives me. I don't have to force it. But that's like plan D in the passing game, right? So that there's going to be a cap ceiling there. And I don't think he perfectly encapsulates that idea, but I think a lot of other players this year encapsulate that idea. So, yeah, he's right there for drafters at running back 12. You got him a little bit lower, Joe Mixon. I'm kind of right in that range with Joe Mixon. And man, just really interesting with just with Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor, the whole it's tough, man. I mean Jacobs, I feel like, is just eventually going to show up and play, but maybe I'm one dead wrong about that. And the Jonathan Taylor stuff, the more people have reported on it, that there has just been such a clear change in the way he and the team have interacted in a public sense since he got a new agent. And I really like Jonathan Taylor. We interviewed him for Eckler's Edge last year, and I thought he was fantastic. I think he's a great guy, great player, had, said all the right things. I really like Jonathan Taylor. I'm not sure like what advice he's getting or anything like that. I don't really want to speculate on that stuff, but it is kind of odd right now. This team, the team is coming off a bad season. I don't think he's to blame totally for his season last year. But like, if I'm Jim Irsay, and I'm not Jim Irsay, thank God. But if I'm Jim Irsay, I guess I'd like to have Jim Irsay's bank account. You can spend exactly $20 million or whatever it is to like fly an orca across the country or whatever that nonsense was. But I'm not Jim Irsay. But if I'm Jim Irsay, I'm like, look, this whole building was rot last year, and I maybe contributed to that, but maybe I don't want to hand an extension out to anybody right now. And I think Jonathan Taylor is obviously not completely healthy. So I don't know. I don't love to like psychoanalyze these situations, but I think that's a little bit what drafters are having to do with Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs, just because there's that frostiness between player and team right now.
Yeah. The thing is, I just look at the fact that there were some pretty acrimonious, public negotiations with Lamar Jackson. And to a lesser extent with our guy, Austin Ekeler. Yeah, yep. So, and things got fixed at that point. I mean, this is one thing. I used to work in pro sports. I used to work for the Dodgers. So, I've seen in the baseball world and in the football world a little bit too, when there's a deadline, things get figured out. And then all of a sudden everything is wine and roses and everybody loves one another. I want players to get paid. I totally want players to get paid. I want them to get theirs. Running backs, they are they're on the marquee. They're with the quarterbacks. They're the guys who score the points. Why are they being paid less than offensive linemen? Why are they being paid less than linebackers? And so that to me is the tough part, but it's the system that they've signed up for right now. And that's in play right now. And the cards are stacked against them. And I wonder how do they get their paydays without actually playing and having great seasons and getting, 1500, 1800 yards and then, and then getting the paydays. So that to me is how do we get that? How do they get that bag without performing on the field? And I just don't know how we get there. So I do feel like it's going to get figured out. I'm still drafting Jonathan Taylor with the idea that they're going to figure it out by Labor Day.
Yeah. I think an extension for him is really unlikely right now, but I think he's going to have to get in the fold and just he's going to have a great year. The whole team's going to have a great year. I think it really is a team situation because, like you said, you're in pro sports and like all these other teams, it did get figured out. I do think Jim Irsay is a huge wild card in this. And like, if he's just sitting here saying like, hey, I'm not giving an extension, I'm sure it doesn't make Chris Ballard feel great. I'm sure it doesn't make Shane Steichen feel great to open up his first training camp with this team. And there's this acrimonious situation with one of their best and most notable players right now. It's not what you want to be dealing with, but hey, it's his team, man. He's going to do what he's going to do. Two big themes at this position, Jorge, every single year, as we kind of close out the wide angle view of this position. One, it's big injury carryover headlines every year. And two, it's major backfield committee splits. We'll talk about both those things here, but let's talk about the big injury carryover headlines. Every single year, there's at least one or two running backs, at least the last few seasons, where we're sort of taking an injury situation that had happened last year, and how are we going to project these guys going into the season, or at least the very start of the season? To me, there's two guys here. There's Breece Hall with the New York Jets, and there's Javonte Williams with the Denver Broncos. Where do you stand on both of those guys right now? Because I have my opinions, but I want to hear where you stand on these two guys.
Well, I do feel I sat down with Dr. Owen Porras a few weeks ago and actually wrote the injury prone article on Yahoo. So please check it out if you haven't already done so. But everybody out there. We spent a lot of time talking about these two players, and Edwin is very, very high on them from the standpoint. He's very high on Breece from the standpoint that when the season comes along, he will be almost 10 months from the surgery date, which he says he likes him to be 9 months. He has great athleticism, and he's young. He's only 22 years old, high draft capital. Those are kind of his markers that he looks for guys who come back that and do well. And plus he gets a lot of work in the receiving game. The one thing that gives me a little pause is his ADP. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to invest in Breece Hall in the 30s. Because that to me means I've got to have him be my number two running back. And if another thing that Edwin once told me is for the ACL tear. Now this is considered a clean tear, so not a lot of extra work being done on it, like is happening with Javonte. But for an ACL to be completely healed, it takes about 12 months, and that is almost 2 months into the is about 2 months into the season. So that's seven, eight games at that point. So I like him in the back half of the season. Plus their schedule kind of lightens up in the back half of the season. But I want to put Breece Hall as my number two running back in my lineup, and then maybe he underperforms the first month and I'm 1-3. So that to me, Edwin did tell me the great line. He said, a wise man once told me, scared money don't make money. There is a little bit of a back and forth on that one, but I'm looking at receiver or Najee Harris in that kind of range. So there's still some receivers I like very much in that range. Or maybe just looking at an elite quarterback, Lamar Jackson is going in that range. So that to me, that's why he's one of the guys I don't think I've in a best ball draft. I don't think I've pressed a draft button on Breece Hall yet. Now, Javonte Williams is another guy. He's further down. He's going in the seventh or eighth round right now. So There are reports that he's expected to play during preseason games. So maybe the second or third game, maybe get some reps in. That has, that's going to be something that was one thing that everyone said. Where is he going to be on the PUP list to start the season? And he wasn't to start training camp. Right now it's trending that he's not, as long as he doesn't have any setbacks. So maybe they're able to nurse him along, give a lot of Samaje Perine early in the season, and kind of save him for hopefully when he's available in the back half of the season. And one of the things we know, Sean Payton, he's not just a passing game guru. He gets a lot out of his running backs.
That's such a good point about Sean Payton. We think about those Saints years where Drew Brees is just breaking passing records. Michael Thomas is breaking receiving records. But yeah, they always had a really good, strong, foundational run game. And I think that was clearly the intent with the Broncos when they opened up free agency and they immediately start signing offensive linemen, Samaje Perine and Chris Manhertz, who's like a sixth offensive lineman. That team's going to run the ball this year. How much is Javonte Williams that guy? I think it's a good question, even when he's closer to 100%, maybe in the back half of the year, just because another theme of those Saints teams where they were always rotating running backs. Javonte Williams was drafted by the previous, I think like two regimes ago or two coaching staffs ago now at this point. Point being, he wasn't Sean Payton's pick, and we know like Sean Payton's the guy at this point. He is the central figure of that organization. So I do think that's one question with Javonte, even with the injury stuff. I'll say with Breece Hall, Jorge, I'm on kind of the other side of this here where I think I am drafting Breece Hall, like if he's in that range to me, because I think he has the ceiling of being like a top five fantasy back this year, if he's healthy in the back half of the year. And I think this is one of those situations where if you're drafting a guy like this, you have to prepare for it later on where, okay, maybe you take a Jamal Williams because he's going to probably just run out as that team's RB1 in the first 3 weeks, at least the first 3 weeks while Alvin Kamara's suspended. I always tell people you draft this team, that's not immediately like your week 1, 2, 3 starting lineup. Like if you take Breece Hall in the, third, fourth round or something, and then you take Jamal Williams much later, it's okay if you start Jamal Williams in week 1 ahead of Breece Hall. Like that should be a perfectly reasonable thing to do. So I think we're both kind of approaching these guys with some cautious optimism, but I'm a little bit more okay with Breece Hall just because of, like you said, what Edwin pointed out, scared money don't make money, man. And I'm very interested in Breece Hall this year. Let's talk some major backfield committee splits. That's another theme that's always the case with this position. I think we have zero clarity really for how these teams are going to divvy up the work to start the season and really throughout the season. I'll throw these four teams out there to you, and you tell me if there's like one where you really think, actually, no, we do have clarity on this situation. 1, Chicago Bears, 2, Miami Dolphins, 3, Washington Commanders, and 4, the New Orleans Saints. I will still group in this section as well. We have more committee clarities coming up in our biggest disagreement player sections, but for now, do you think anyone emerges as a consistent starter from any of those backfields?
I'm kind of looking at Roschon Johnson with the Bears for the back half of the season. Rookies seem to pop a little bit more, in the back half of the season. I kind of look at him a little bit like Tyler Allgeier for two reasons. I really like the Khalil Herbert skill set, and I like Deonta Foreman, but there are a couple of warts on him that could keep them off the field at significant points. Khalil Herbert had only 8 rushing attempts inside the 5-yard line last year. He got 7 yards on those 8 rushing attempts. So, and no touchdowns. Deonta Foreman, he really filled in nicely. He was very good once CMC, Christian McCaffrey, was traded. He also had the lowest Pro Football Focus grade for pass protection. And a lot, and that gets guys on the field. Brett Whitefield, who from Fantasy Points, one of the premier tape grinders. And he actually, we talked a lot about rookie running backs and their landing spots. And he liked this one just from the standpoint that Roschon is a good, he's got an overall good skill set, but he's also very good in pass protection. So he's a bigger back. He's got explosiveness. He's fresher. He doesn't have an extended injury history like Deonta Foreman coming off an Achilles tear. He's been healthy, but that's in his history. And also Khalil Herbert has missed time the last couple seasons. So does Roshan come on later on? Maybe. Devon Achane, I think with him, I can see kind of like a Kamara-ish type of role for him where he gets maybe 8 to 12 touches, but they're all getting them the ball in space. And so he's not going to get 20, he's not going to get 15 or 20 rushing attempts. I think a lot of that is going to go to Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, but I think he's a guy that is getting drafted later on, kind of like in that. I think he's even going beyond the running back dead zone. And he's a guy that you can kind of stash on your bench and then just kind of see where he kind of pops up. I want to, when you were talking about the Commanders, I want to believe in Antonio Gibson being being someone who can actually get that Jerick McKinnon role, which was so incredibly valuable for the Kansas City Chiefs last year, where Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator. So I want to believe that. I keep looking at Brian Robinson being completely healthy off of that really unfortunate gunshot wound, and I can see things getting pretty split up. Maybe he has the Pacheco role, a Gibson in that McKinnon role, just kind of getting catching passes, maybe just a little bit here and there. So
the Bears situation that you point out, this is sort of the, how do you rank that? Like what you just pointed out there is, because I think that could be easily how the way this whole thing plays out. Like Khalil Herbert kind of gets the first crack at this thing. Maybe he's a good option if you do draft a Breece Hall or you do draft a Javonte Williams, because you think like, okay, he probably runs out as the RB1. There have been reports from camp that like Deonta Foreman's working out in the passing game. But like you said, he's not a pass protector. Like maybe you could throw him a swing pass or something like that. But there are concerns there. So maybe he doesn't, like, how long is he going to have his moment in the sun? And then Roshan Johnson, I agree with you. Like he could be the guy to finish the season the right way, but again, how do you rank that? Because you probably don't want to draft that guy. You want to wait for someone else to drop him and pick him up later on. That's usually how you want to approach that situation. But again, it's like, how do you rank that? How do you convey what I just said to somebody? It's like, if you're drafting off my rankings or my tiers or whatever, how do you convey that? I have no idea, but that's sort of the context that needs to be approached with these sort of committee backfields. And oh, by the way, for a team like Chicago, if this is going to be a three or even really like a heavy two-way split backfield with Justin Fields also, running a ton and they're playing slow anyways, you probably don't want to have any of those guys on your fantasy team.
Exactly. And, and Justin Fields did not do a lot of checking down. So if the guy wasn't there, I mean, he did not look at Khalil Herbert or David Montgomery. He took off, and gosh, I mean, who could blame him? I mean, when he could pop off an 80-yard run, on a broken play. But I did an NFL Insider series, and I sat down with Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports, and she did point out they want to definitely scale back a little bit of the running. So
yeah, for sure.
Maybe he's not running for 1,000 yards, but maybe he's running for like 750 to 850, like Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, and passing more. So that I'm really high on Justin Fields because of that reason, and getting DJ Moore, which I don't have to tell you, DJ Moore is pretty good at football.
Yeah. And you're right though. I tell this story all the time on the podcast from the, or I'm sure I've told it at some point this off season, where Austin and I are sitting down with Justin Fields at the Super Bowl, and like we're on the show, and he says, Austin says, hey, you've run through 1,000 yards in the NFL. I haven't even run for 1,000 yards. Maybe you'll do it again this year. And Justin's like, oh God, I hope not. So I don't think he even wants to run as much as he did last year. So that might open up more opportunity for those running backs. Jorge, let's move into our biggest player disagreements. I moved this up the outline because I think it smoothly transitions to like more of these, basically these three players situations we're disagreeing on slightly here. They're all in committee backfields and we're sort of like trying to guess at how this is going to split up. Let's talk about the Eagles first, because I thought this was really interesting when Rich Rebar brought it up on the podcast, that I think the Eagles are sort of the pricier version of the Bears running backs, which you would think is crazy at first. But if you think about those players, like I think it's a potential three-way split in that backfield, and they're playing with a mobile quarterback, both teams playing with a mobile quarterback. one is the Eagles offense and one is the Bears offense. That's why it's the pricier version here in Philadelphia, because one of those offenses played in the Super Bowl last year. And let's just say the other one was playing some prehistoric football at times last year. So let's talk about DeAndre Swift here, who you and I disagree on a little bit. You have him at running back 27. I have him pretty far below that at running back 38. And a lot of that is what I said. I think it's going to be a three-way split backfield. I'm a bit ahead of consensus here on Kenny Gainwell. I think Kenny Gainwell is going to steal some of that passing work that DeAndre Swift desperately needs. And I also have Rashad Penny ranked as the top back in Philly. I'm not like I'm bullish on Rashad Penny, but I think he fits best in that early down banger role. You tell me, though, why. Look, you're not crazy out there on you're actually much more in line with consensus on DeAndre Swift than I am. So you tell me why I'm the idiot.
I'm not going to tell you you're an idiot, but
you can if you want. It's perfectly fine.
No, we'll save that for a later argument, mi amigo. Okay, when I look at DeAndre Swift, I was actually just kind of looking at range of running backs where I had guys, and I was just kind of looking at that again. I got him right in front of James Cook, who I actually think has potential for popping this year in the passing game because Devin Singletary is leaving behind a lot of targets. But the guys I got behind them, I'm looking at, they've got a lot of question marks about them. You know, David Montgomery, the split backfield, not a heavy use in the running game. AJ Dillon, you know, how much work is he going to get? Antonio Gibson, questions about how much work he's going to get. So I don't want to push him down. Rashad Penny, I mean, I've got Rashad Penny kind of close to him at number 32. I like them both. I actually think they're both going to have kind of like almost equal amount of work. I'm looking at Jalen Hurts to take another step as a passer, just to kind of involve his running backs a little bit more in the passing game. I think they were the last in targeting running backs last year. That's got to come up. I mean, we saw Josh Allen take a step forward in that. I think he jumped up about 20, 25 targets to his running backs last year. So I think Hurts, if he could just add a little bit more, some of that's going to, a fair amount of those are going to go to DeAndre Swift. But I also look at the fact that, I mean, this is still best offensive line in football. Never going to see a stack box. Neither of these running backs are ever going to see a stack box because you've got those guys, AJ Brown, Devonta Smith on the outside, who are just going to keep a lot of defensive attention. That's going to keep the middle wide open. And Jalen Hurts is also, because of his threat to run, is going to make sure that they're going to actually they're just never going to see a stack box. So I really like both of them. Because there was a part of me that was like, when I saw that we had this kind of disparity, I was kind of like, well, where would I drop him down? And I didn't want to drop him below any of the guys that are below him, though. I could see Rashad Penny outdoing him if he stays healthy that whole season, because I still remember that 2021 finish. Oh, that was glorious.
I got off to a pretty hot start last year before getting injured. And look, I'm not the Rashad Penny guy. That's Dalton Del Don. So we'll leave him for, the Rashad Penny corner. I just think that when you think about these players from an archetype standpoint, Penny does profile best to be that early down guy, like replace the Miles Sanders carries. And Sanders was good in the red zone. I think Penny can be that guy. Again, look, if he gets hurt, like, and we're talking about maybe Trey Sermon in that role at some point, like that's also very realistic too. And then like, okay, are you really going to give Trey Sermon work ahead of DeAndre Swift? Probably not. Swift has his issues staying healthy. I think the big problem for me is just, a lot of what I said earlier, I think the Eagles epitomize this, that no matter how much that we think DeAndre Swift can be a good receiver, one, I do think Kenny Gainwell, who's reportedly the team's featured running back in like 2-minute drills, stuff like that, I think he's going to eat into that receiving work anyways. And then two, even if DeAndre Swift's a good receiver, and even if you're right, and I think you are right about Jalen Hurts taking a step as a passer and potentially involving running backs more, they're just not going to take many targets away from AJ Brown and Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. Like, if he's a fourth on that team in targets, it's still going to be a pretty distant fourth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with you, the Kenny Gainwell, because I was looking at his numbers during the playoffs and he was heavily involved, even with Miles Sanders having quite a role. And so, that to me is really valuable. Plus the fact that he's the one who's got the most familiarity with the offense. So he might be a sneaky guy at the beginning of the season because of that familiarity that they might just be able to lean on him. I don't know if he's going to get you know, more than, you know, 7 to 10 touches, unless either of those miss time, but they could be some valuable touches. Plus they also trust them near the goal line.
Yep. I think that's the thing. The trust, the familiarity is key there. Look, I don't think Kenny Gainwell has a lot of fantasy upside necessarily, but I think there is a chance that fantasy Twitter argues about, you know, Rashad Penny versus DeAndre Swift. And then by the time we're in the money part of the season, Kenny Gainwell's playing over both those guys because of injury and just the familiarity and the trust. Let's talk the Lions real quick. Because we have a slight disagreement on these guys. It's not too crazy. I have David Montgomery ranked ahead of you, running back 24. You've got him at running back 29. Jahmyr Gibbs, though, you're ahead of me, 13, 19 in terms of running back rankings. Just explain to me kind of your thoughts about how this Lions running back rotation is going to go, because we know this is going to be a two running back system. They fit well together. The team has basically said that. So I'm not sure how much we really disagree here, but kind of walk me through your thoughts about how this team sets up, and then we'll see if I really actually disagree with any of it.
Well, I'm looking at those 70 targets that DeAndre Swift got in this offense last year, and I'm just dropping them into Jahmyr Gibbs' lap to start. I think that's the starting point right there. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the fact that Jameson Williams is going to be out 6 games. And who's the wide receiver 2 on that team? I know we like the tight end, Sam Laporta, but that's still a rookie tight end. And I'm just not expecting a lot from week one. Running backs, when they are elite, and he is being, you know, drafted as the number 12 overall pick, he is drafted with the expectation that he's going to be elite. Those guys pop from the beginning. Yeah. And so that to me is the thing. I think he's going to have heavy work in the running game. And then, I don't know how much work he's going to get close to the goal line, but, because I do think Montgomery is going to be the primary guy down near the goal line. But I look at that, and I also mentioned Brett Whitefield. I had him on my podcast. He pointed out that since 2015 he's got this intricate scoring system for running backs coming out of the going into the NFL draft, and he had him number 5 overall between Saquon Barkley at number 4 and Todd Gurley number 6. That's pretty heady company. So I look at him. I think he's an advanced pass catcher and playing running back. And I think if he gets, 8 to 12 rushing attempts on top of the receiving work, I think there's going to be some explosive plays coming out of him.
I really love how Jahmyr Gibbs sets up in this offense. So I'm actually not even really out on Gibbs. I think he's a perfectly reasonable pick this year. I just think Montgomery's a little underrated here. And number one, because I think the offense, We talk about the great stuff they do in the passing game and the play action stuff and how comfortable Jared Goff can be there. But I think that the way they run the ball is really the foundation of that offense, and it kind of sets up everything from there. It's a good offensive line. You mentioned the scoring area touches, the touches that are really going to matter here for fantasy down by the goal line, in a half PPR format. David Montgomery is going to get those carries. I also think he can eat into the passing game just a little bit. The way that they're going to be involved in the passing game is going to be totally different. But I think he can catch a few passes here as well, which might just eat away at Gibbs a little bit and keep Montgomery's weekly floor a little bit higher than okay, he didn't fall into the end zone this week. He gave you 3 points or something like that. I just think those two guys are going to be the foundation of this offense. But maybe you're right, though. If Gibbs is so good, they don't ever want to take him off the field. And you're absolutely correct that, the way that passing game is set up right now, they need him to be an elite receiver.
And plus, wouldn't it be great if Amon Ross St. Brown didn't keep getting stopped at the 1 or 2 yard line?
That would be amazing.
That wouldn't be great. How many times? I think it was 6 or 8 times that happened last season. That got Jamal Williams should sent him a big Christmas present last year because of that, because I think he made him a little money last year because of those. But yeah, I think definitely look at Gibbs. And, plus I also remember, one last thing on Gibbs. When Todd Gurley took a step forward as a pass catcher, it was with Jared Goff taking his step a step forward as a quarterback. And I just think Goff really knows how to involve a running back on not just little dump off plays. So that's why I'm really high on Gibbs this year.
They're sort of the inverse of what I have been talking about too, about okay, the Eagles are not going to sit there and be okay, we've got all these star pass catchers. let's scheme up targets for DeAndre Swift. The Lions, on the other hand, are like, yeah, we have Amon-Ra St. Brown, but we don't got nobody else. Like, yeah, we're going to scheme up some touches for this Jahmyr Gibbs guy that the GM's like smacking the table about in the draft room. So that actually is a really good point. I really don't think we actually disagree on that Lions backfield rotation too much. I think both those guys are viable fantasy plays. Last player here, Isaiah Pacheco. I have him at running back 29. You have him at running back 35. This is a very loosely held opinion for me. I'm not like crazy. I really like Pacheco, the player, and I've been very upfront about that. I just love watching this guy play. So maybe there's a little bit of bias there. But I also think the industry kind of generally assumes, like, I'm looking at consensus ranks, and I'm actually not that. I'm right in line there. He's running back 28 in consensus rankings over at Fantasy Pros for Isaiah Pacheco. But and you have him a little bit below that at 35. You like CEH a tiny bit more than me. We're both pretty much close and in line on McKinnon. I just want to put it to you this way, Jorge. What if Isaiah Pacheco like takes another step as a player? And then it's like, okay, we're talking about a guy who's the early down back, like the grinder back for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to be closing games out, I think, quite often, as they usually are with Patrick Mahomes. And if he develops a little bit, and maybe they get him involved in the pass game a little bit more, maybe he is a little bit trusted. And then we're talking about like, oh, wow, we actually had the pretty clear cut, like who's going to lead the team in carries player for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we all drafted him around like we're running back 30. Like, what if he is that player? I mean, he could be like a top 15 back in fantasy. I understand there's a low floor with this player and like players of this archetype. But I also think in this specific environment, and maybe you could tell me I'm just buying into that environment too much. I kind of think there is some ceiling present here.
Yeah, I think the ceiling might actually be coming because of the fact that he had that shoulder surgery, which should not be it should not be trifled with. And I'm going to go back to the baseball background. Two players that I worked with at the Dodgers, Adrian Gonzalez and Matt Kemp, both had labrum surgery. And I know you've talked a lot about fitness and weight training and everything like that. When those players both told me about when they had that labrum surgery, they can't do upper body work the way they're normally would. So their upper body strength really becomes diminished. And imagine trying to play. I mean, it's one thing to play pro sports when you're 100% best shape of your life, which so many people claim they are this time of year. But if you're in any way diminished and your upper body, That to me is why I kind of brought him back down a little bit, just for the fact that I worry that maybe at the beginning of the season he might not have his full strength, he might not be able to shed tackles, which is one of the things. He's a very, very physical runner. He likes contact. So
as you're saying that, I'm like, this is Isaiah Pacheco's game, like running violently and like throwing his body around, throwing his shoulders around. So yeah, you are making me actually like with that. You're making some good points here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So and didn't have to call you any names in the process.
Yeah, you didn't even have to call me an idiot. You just had to like lightly suggest that I'm an idiot. No, but seriously, I think Pacheco, the risk is definitely there. Maybe I just like the guy, like the way the guy plays the game and everything. So I think that's a fair, really fair counter argument. And an injury that people probably aren't talking enough about right now with Isaiah Pacheco. Let's talk some candidates to make the leap here. And I've got five guys down here. They're mostly second year backs. But before we talk about those second year backs, I want to throw out Alexander Mattison. We haven't mentioned him at all through the podcast here. We didn't really even hint at him as a dead zone back, because I know people say, oh, classic dead zone back. He is, he's a guy like that is just going to fall into volume, all of that, whatever. Okay. But I think Mattison actually, look, I know that there's kind of some disagreement about how good of a player he is. Where do you fall on Alexander Mattison? Because I think he does make a lot of sense as a breakout candidate this year.
He really does. I mean, I think what a lot of people, and I was initially, before I wrote the Running Back Dead Zone article that's going to be published pretty soon, might be actually by the time this comes out, it'll be out. Mattison was someone I wasn't very high on this season. I mean, I looked because I looked at the fact that you had Dalvin Cook with 303 total touches last year, including receptions, and just a massive, massive year. I didn't see all of those coming Alexander Mattison's way. But what if he gets 250? And, you know, what if he gets, you know, 210 carries and 50 receptions, and you're getting him, you know, you're getting him in low 60s. So you're getting him at the beginning of the sixth round. You know, maybe he's your second running back, and in a hero RB approach, and you just loaded up on receiver, and you got a great, you know, let's say you got a Chris McCaffrey or an Austin Eckler at the beginning, and then you just loaded up on receiver. Maybe you grabbed an elite quarterback in that frame, and you could get Alexander Mattison as your running back two in the sixth round. Wow, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, because again, you're not going to expect that heavy volume, because I also look at the fact that the Vikings are going to still be a heavy passing team. I mean, they didn't run the ball that much. I think they were number 29 in total rushing attempts last year. I think they were number four in total passing attempts last year. So they're going to be a heavy passing team, because the fact that, why not? Justin Jefferson is headed to a gold jacket. So, yeah. And you've added Jordan Addison. You've got TJ Hawkinson going into a year. KJ Osborne is someone who should not be overlooked. So you look at these guys, they're going to be heavy on the passing game, but they still need someone to balance it out. And I could see, because of that, taking a lower draft pick, Alexander Mattison might be a value.
Yeah, I just think the Vikings offense is going to be really good. He's the lead back of a really good offense. Like, I think Kirk Cousins is going to be better in year two of this system. I think that Justin Jefferson exists. He's one of the best football players on the planet, period, right now. And I like the auxiliary pass catchers. The offensive line can be better. Like, it seems to all be there for Alexander Mattison. And I don't think there's really a guy to clearly challenge him. And I don't think he's bad. Like, even if he's not a great player, I don't think he's bad enough to lose that job. Like, that's the part to me that I'm skeptical about. Is he such, okay, again, maybe he's not a star level running back, but if he's just solid enough to keep the offense moving, I really think that he's in for a good season. So I'm glad we're kind of on the same page with that one, that the ceiling is present for him. If touchdown luck goes his way, and like you said, he just catches 50 passes, the ceiling is there for him to be a running back one this year. And I really don't think the floor is all that scary. So like I mentioned, the other guys to take a leap here are all second year running backs. How about you? We're going to do it this way. I'm going to list off these second year running backs, and you rank them in terms of most to least likely to take the leap. That doesn't mean that you hate the guy that you're ranking fourth, but just you think that this guy's most likely. Rashad White, Damian Pierce, Kenneth Walker, James Cook. Most to least likely to make the leap this year. Your thoughts?
I you know, one of my favorite players in that zone is Damian Pierce. I just worry that getting Devin Singletary there is going to eat into his time. I think the one who can actually make a really, really big leap is Rashad White, just because he does not have a lot of he does not have a lot of competition. That's what's Keyshawn Vaughn. Not a lot of competition, so he's going to get more rushing attempts. He already got 57 targets last year, so he's going to I think, and that was with Leonard Fournette leaving such a big, both running back rushing attempts as well as targets. He's leaving those behind. They got to go somewhere. I mean, granted, those targets are now not coming from the GOAT. They're coming from Baker Mayfield, but, you know, he also doesn't like to get hit. So there's going to be some dump offs to Rashad White. Kenneth Walker, I would have had probably at the top of this list, but he's dealing with a groin strain right now. So I always worry about those kind of soft tissue injuries, especially a groin can really, really linger. I'm actually going to put him toward the back just because the fact that I look at him and I just really worry that that's going to limit him at the beginning of the season and push Zach Charbonnet up. James Cook is a guy that I'm very, very intrigued by because there's nobody else who's going to be, you know, nobody else is going to be getting work in the passing game on the running backs. Damian Harris is not a threat. Naheem Hines has been lost for the season. So the running back targets, which as I mentioned earlier, Josh Allen increased last year. So I look at that and I'm like, well, that could possibly That could be interesting there.
I'm pretty tempted to put Damian Pierce at the first spot here, just because I think the player is really good.
Yes, he is good.
I think the offense is going to be better this year. He's still a rookie. It's going to be a rookie quarterback. It's going to be CJ Stroud, but I think he can also make better use of Damian Pierce in the pass game. And I actually think Devin Singletary is like the perfect complementary back. Not a guy who's going to take that job, but he's going to take the load off Damian Pierce, so he doesn't get he's going to have that tough matchup to end the year. You're right about that, Jorge, but he might be a little fresher at that time than he was certainly at that point last year when he really started to wear down and eventually was not in place there. But it's a very interesting list of second year running backs there. That is for sure. It's very interesting. And Kenneth Walker, I'm glad you pointed out the injury, because obviously Charbonnet is hanging over him anyways. And then, you know, man, he could easily make the leap. I love the Seahawks offense this year, but yeah. Charbonnet is going to be kind of lingering, especially if the injury situation is not great for Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, plus Charbonnet is dealing with his little injury himself. One other thing, one thing came to mind when you were talking about Damian Pierce, who I love also. He had over 500 yards after contact last year. He was fifth in the league, but all the guys in front of him played three or four more games. So this is a guy who, you know, gets the tough yards. So I think he's going to go over 1,000 yards as long as he gets 17 games. So I like him. Gosh, you made it tough on me with that list, man, Miguel.
Hey, man, that's what I'm here to do. Make this content compelling. And speaking of which, we're going to finish it up here, Jorge, with our guy at the running back position for this year. Yours is more interesting than mine, so I'll go first. My guy here is Miles Sanders. A lot of it is we've been talking about this a ton with the running back like targets. And I know he's been sort of he's actually the guy that got me thinking about this. Right. Because we're talking about all these players that, all right, if you have a star receiving core, you are not going to be throwing to your running backs very often, especially if you have a mobile quarterback. Well, you know who had a mobile quarterback in Philadelphia? When you see his targets drop off, it was Miles Sanders. You know who, like, the receiving stuff last year, he was barely involved in the pass game. Well, no kidding. Miles Sanders is a good player, but I'm not throwing him the ball if I got A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert. You know who the Carolina Panthers do not have? Anybody that's even close to that good at catching the football, all right? So that receiving core is probably dead last if you're ranking them in the league right now. I think I like Jonathan Mingo, but he's a rookie, and the rest of these guys at this point in their career are role players. So I think Miles Sanders can get like 70 something targets this year. I think he's going to play all three downs, and the Panthers team is pretty good. Like the defense is good. The coaching staff is great. And the offensive line is really, really talented there. And they were good. They were running the piss out of the ball last year, Jorge, like we had that Donta Foreman finish we talked about a little bit ago. Because that offensive line was kicking ass in the run game, man. So I think they can kick ass in the run game this year. I think Miles Sanders can get some targets. He's a guy right now, you know, drafters are still kind of skeptical of him. Rankers are skeptical of him. They have him around like the 20s. I think Miles Sanders is a guy that you should be pretty like aggressively targeting in drafts this year when you miss. Like if you're looking for a running back two, he makes a perfect running back two to me.
Oh yeah, I love him in that point. I mean, I know some people are going to say, oh, it's projection with him that, you know, to get more targets, but he's gotten targets. His rookie year, he got 63 targets, turned it into 50 receptions. So he has that in him. And
with Deuce Staley, worth noting, yes. With Deuce Staley as his running back coach, who's his running back coach in Carolina and the assistant head coach there as well.
Absolutely. I think he's a dream guy to get as your running back too. And actually, you know, if you want to go crazy with a zero RB build, why not him as your first pick when you're getting him in like the, you know, fourth or fifth round, your first running back at that point? He's going to get so much of the carries. Chuba Hubbard is not a factor in the passing game at all. So, I'm really high on him at that point. And he's going in a range where, in fact, he's a sneak preview. He's one of the guys I mentioned in the running back dead zone article. So he's going ahead in that range where Calvin Ridley and Keenan Allen are going. So, if you've gone heavy on wide receiver before that, I would have no problem passing on either of them, much as I do like them. I wouldn't mind passing on them to get Miles Sanders at that point to kind of solidify running back at that point.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Well, glad we're on the same page here. We're a little bit different with your guy here. Your guy is Najee Harris, who you mentioned earlier. We mentioned earlier is in the top 12 right now. You actually have him ranked as your running back 10. I am stupidly, here's why I'm an idiot, Jorge. I'm ready to be in on the Steelers offense this year. Again, I'm sure this won't let me down this time. I'm sure I won't hate watch Matt Canada all year long with the, you know, the go routes and the little hitch routes drawn dead against cover two. I'm sure I'm not going to hate that decision. So you like the lead back of this offense. Tell me why Najee Harris is your guy here in 2023.
Mike Tomlin's history. He loves to feed his lead back. It could be Le'Veon Bell. It could be James Conner, D'Angelo Williams. You know, that it doesn't matter. He feeds his main guy. Najee Harris, they drafted him in the first round for a reason. So they're feeding him. That first season, they fed him over 300 carries. It was 74 receptions. It was incredible. I don't expect anywhere near that amount of targets this year. Maybe it caps off at 50. Jalen Warren is going to be a factor, but I look at this overall offense. I know you love to use the word ecosystem. So Kenny Pickett is going to take a step forward as a passer. As a quarterback, this and with it, the offense is going to become better. When I sat down with my Pittsburgh Steeler writing, Noah Strackbein covers them for Sports Illustrated and all Steelers. He pointed out that, you know, yes, there are questions about Matt Canada as a play caller, but was he actually being more vanilla because he was trying to break in a running back this year? I mean, a rookie quarterback this year.
Yeah.
And on the heels of the limited passing, the limited amount of work that Ben Roethlisberger could do in the passing game before that. So do we see an evolution for Matt Canada just because he knows he can do more with him? Other things that I like about it. Again, great wide receiver group. So, wide receiver, and I'm putting Pat Freiermuth in there as a pass catcher. So again, I look, there's not going to be stacked boxes against them. And also the fact that they upgraded their offensive line, both in the draft and in free agency. And speaking of the draft, they drafted Darnell Washington. So who likes to call himself a sixth offensive lineman. So those guys are great for running backs at that point. So I look at Najee. I think he's going to get over 250 carries, and I think he's going to get up close to, somewhere in the 40, 45 range when it comes to receptions. Yeah, I think he's going to have a big season. He's the guy I'm grabbing in the third round.
Yeah, people don't want to get excited about Najee Harris. I get it. Even in the final six games when the offense really took a step, he still averaged under 4 yards a carry, but can he become more efficient? One, if Jalen Warren just supplements, because I agree, he's only going to be a supplemental player, but can he become more efficient if Jalen Warren kind of takes some of the work away from him to the point, just to keep him fresher? Is that possible? And two, if the offense is better, if we're right that Matt Canada opens things up a little bit, I still didn't love the way the offense was designed under Big Ben. I don't love the way the offense is designed, period, but they were certainly extra vanilla last year. Can that be evolved a little bit? I think it all comes back to Kenny Pickett taking a step. And I kind of think Kenny Pickett can take a step.
I do too. And one other note about him, there was so much talk about the Lisfranc injury that he had last year, which was definitely a real injury, but he played through it and he was healthy from after the bye week, which was week 9. From week 10 to week 18, he was the number 4 running back in fantasy points per game. So that, to me, is what I mean, that's a pretty good, that's a really, really good time frame. That's a good sample size that I want to look at. So I'm willing to stand on an island with Najee Harris. Me and him, I'm gonna stand with him, and he's one of my guys this year.
I love it. Well, if you believe that argument is a good one, you the listener can stand there on the Najee Harris island as well. Man. Can't wait to just be into the Steelers this year. I mean, it's never led me wrong before, that's for sure. Jorge, you did not lead us wrong anywhere in this episode. I really appreciate you doing the running back positional preview with us. You dropped a lot of it already, the great work you have coming up on the site, the great work you've been doing on the site, but remind people one more time where they can find you and what you've got coming up for people to look forward to in terms of content here at Yahoo.
Yeah, First off, muchas gracias. Thank you for having me on here. This is this Yahoo Fantasy Football show is just one that I've listened to a really, really long time. So find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Got so much other stuff coming up. I'm going to be looking at Zero RB. We're going to be looking at valuable backups. And then it's going to be a week by week look at running backs that are running back rooms that are kind of muddy during the season, and how are injuries kind of affecting those running back groups, and how to approach them for the coming week, whether they've got great good matchups or bad matchups coming up. So it's going to be every early part of every week, just something to come up. Everything going to be looking at running backs coming up. Other than that, if you want to check out the Familia FFB YouTube page after you've clicked on here. I'm almost done with going 32 for 32 with beat writers, NFL insiders. I've just got two more teams to go, and it's all archived on there. And it's been so much great information that's been dropped down to those people. They're all in its own playlist. And, it's been awesome. I'm thankful to everybody for, inviting me on to be part of this, and, also to be, work with the team at Yahoo. It's been nothing short of fantastic already.
Hey, man, you've been nothing short of fantastic. So really appreciate it. Like I said at the top, running back, kind of an important position to get right in fantasy, both in your drafts and throughout the season. Jorge is going to be your guy to do that. So make sure you're dialed into all of his content here and everywhere across the internet. That's going to do it for this show. A little promo for me. I'm actually doing a Reddit AMA today as you're listening to this, August 8th. It's going to be at 12 Eastern. You can just find it on my Twitter page. I'll tweet out the link, the whole thing. But yeah, that's a good thing for me to remind you that I'm doing that. Meanwhile, we're going to continue our positional preview week here by looking at, yes, wide receivers next episode. I will have a lot to say about the position, of course, but more importantly, I put this out there that I want someone on the show, a big dog who's going to be able to push back and disagree with me on this. So that is why I went out and got Fantasy Life's Dwayne McFarland for that show. Going to be a great one. You can't miss that. Until then, we're out.